4 and verse number 1. And he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was on the sea, was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. And brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. He basically tells his disciples, he said, you're supposed to be able to understand the things that I'm saying. Those ones out there, they're not going to understand, because if they would understand, then they might get saved, they might get right with God, and they're not interested in that, so they're not interested in understanding what I'm saying. They're always going to take what I say and try to filter it through what they want it to be. And I want to say, man, that hadn't really changed. Yeah. We're still dealing with that even in our day. People that don't want to be obedient to the truth of God's word, so they take the word of God and try to filter it through their own desire for what they want it to be and try to make it say what they want it to say. This ain't what I come to preach, but I'm going to preach this too. Amen. Here's how they do it. I'm going to give you a warning right here to help you to get off some of these no good Bible correcting preachers. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. When they start saying stuff like this, well, what this really means is, well, if you go to the Greek and the Hebrew, you'll find out that what he was really trying to say was, well, I got it in English what he really said. I can see in plain English what he said. Why do I need to see in some other language what he's really trying to say? I'm pretty sure if God's capable of preserving his word, he's capable of preserving it in a way that we can understand. Amen. Well, you know, this is a cultural application, and this was only given to this group of people at this particular time. Hey, look up in here. What about what Paul told Timothy? He said, how much scripture? All scripture. Given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, all scripture fits in one of the four categories and it is profitable. That is good, useful. It'll bring you profit. It'll give you things that you didn't have before. He said that crowd ain't never going to understand it because they don't want to understand it. Because they don't want to have to apply it. You know why most people can't understand Scripture? Because if they understand it, then they have to be obedient to it or choose not to be. Yeah, right. And he said unto them, verse 13, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? Then he begins in verse 14 to explain it to them. Thank God Jesus explains stuff to us even when he ought not to have to. Amen. I'm glad I serve a God that knows how ignorant I am. Amen. Because now, if he really thought I was a genius, we'd be in trouble because it'd just be me not knowing stuff and him thinking I did. Listen to this. The sower, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown into their hearts. So he said, you got this crowd by the wayside. Right, that is out there in no man's land. And the sower sows the word there, but just as fast as he can sow it, the devil's coming by snatching it back up. We see that all the time. A lot of us lived that for years. Listen to this. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are, look at this word, this is a real important word, offended. Offended. That means they get mad and quit. I've seen, this is probably the most common ground that I've seen when it comes to people in churches in the South, and I don't know nothing about nothing else but that. But I've seen it so much so to the point where about 2 or 3 years into this thing, I called my pastor one night and I said, "Preacher, I'm doing something wrong." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I keep having these people, they come in, they get saved, they get on fire for God. It looks like God's just going to do big things in their life and everything's going great. And all of a sudden, at the first little sign of trouble that they deal with, they just go. I'm not giving them enough depth. I'm doing something wrong, something that it's my fault. There's something I'm doing that's wrong." And he said, "Wait a minute, take your Bible and turn to Mark 4. He said, "Sounds like it's happening just exactly like he said it was going to happen." So why do they get like that? Because look what it says. They have no root. And look at this word. This is a straight, don't miss. If you miss everything else I say tonight, don't miss what I'm fixing to say. This is so important. In themselves. Church, I can only develop your rootedness in God to a certain extent. At best, I get 3 hours a week with you. At best. Most people I get one, maybe two. If that's all you're getting, you ain't gonna make it. You better start developing some root in yourself. If this Bible is the only Bible that you ever read, you ain't going to make it. You better go home and get a hold of something of your own. It says they endure for a time. You can live on that for a little while. You can live on just get everything that you get from God happens at church. You can live on that for a little while. But I'm telling you, you spend a whole lot more time outside of here than you do in here. And at some point, that scale is going to get tipped in the wrong direction. Verse number 18, "And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful." I find it interesting that this crowd don't really die off. They just become useless. They're still there. They just aren't accomplishing anything. This crowd gets the cares of the world and thorns. As they're growing, all that's growing too. And that starts to outpace them and outgrow them. And next thing you know, they've got so caught up in that that they forgot that they're supposed to be bearing fruit. They no longer possess the ability to bear fruit because they're too bound up in other things. Are y'all listening to me? And we see this all the time. If you ain't careful, you get so bound up in everything else out there that you become useless in here. You'll no longer have the ability to do what God has designed you to do because you're too busy doing all kind of other stuff. And hey, can I say this? It's easy to end up there. Yeah. And by the way, let me go ahead and say this too. I'm not saying that you can't be busy. Matter of fact, I believe you ought to be busy. especially a young person, young families. I believe y'all ought to be out here hustling. Yes, that's biblical. The Bible says if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. The Bible says a slothful man, he's so lazy that he'll put his hand down to pick up food and won't even pick it back up to his mouth again. Have somebody else do it for him. Amen. There's some of them running around in our day. Says he turneth upon his bed. I've been guilty of that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But hey, they've got to be, we got at some point we got to go to work, right?
Yeah.
But be real careful, because you know what? It's never legitimate work that gets people sideways with God. People figure out how. Here's what the problem is. You get your eyes on something else that you want, and you begin to work for the purpose of that as opposed to work for the purpose to take care of your family.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to get sideways.
That's right.
And that's when them thorns are going to get up around you. They're going to choke you out. The cares of this world. Verse number 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. And look at the difference. Here's the difference. And bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Some of them bring forth a lot of fruit. Some of them bring forth a little fruit. But the difference in a Christian that has received the word and actually done what they were designed to do is at the end of the day, they have the ability to bring forth fruit. Every other circumstance in this is missing the same thing. They are missing the ability to do the thing that God designed them to do. They grow leaves, they grow stems, they do all that stuff. They can look like they're going to do something, but they don't have the ability to bring forth fruit. And if we can't bring forth fruit, the Bible says we're nothing better than to be cast out, hewn down and cast into the fire. Your value to God on this earth is in your ability to bear fruit. You know what fruit has in it? Seeds. The best way, the most effective way to sow seed is to bear fruit. Brother Brian Cornwell gave an illustration one time. It's always stuck with me. He said, I can take an apple, I can go into my kitchen and get an apple, and I can cut it open and I can tell you how many seeds are in that apple. I can cut it all up, lay it out on the counter, and count them out. And I can tell you how many seeds are in that apple. Would y'all agree with that? But I can take one seed off of that counter and hold it in my hand, and I can't tell you how many apples are in that seed. The first way we sow is by bearing fruit. You want to be effective for God, you're going to have to bear some fruit. Fruit bearing sows seed that you don't even know about. We talk about evangelism and systematic confrontational evangelism and all of these things. Man, there's been 100 million books wrote about it, and conferences and congresses and seminars and PowerPoints and everything else about how do you get somebody to get saved and all this stuff. But hear me out right here. The most effective way to sow seed is to bear fruit. And if you'll bear fruit for God just on a basic level, you'll sow seeds that you'll never even know nothing about. Do you think a pine tree, when that cone opens and them little pine seeds spread all over the place, do you think that the pine tree knows or even cares how many of those become a fruitful pine tree? Probably not, but he's creating life whether he realizes it or not. Bearing fruit is a basic function of a Christian. What does it mean to bear fruit? Well, I'm not getting off into this, but to bear fruit, we know what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance. These are the fruits that we can bear. And that'll sow seed. But I want to give you a little something tonight. I promise I'm not going to keep you long. We'll be out of here in just a few minutes.
But this is just it. This is what I got to thinking about this thing, and I preach it like this, I can preach it like that, I can do it a whole bunch of different ways and all that stuff, and that's fine. But let me just give you some instruction on sowing seed. You know what the sower does in this parable? He sows seed. The sower sows seed. Are y'all listening to me? The plant that bears fruit sows seed. How do we get the gospel out into the world? We sow seed. The Bible tells us that sometimes it's like this. One man plants and another man waters. God gives the increase. There's a part in there where God's got to take over and do things we can't do. But to get to that, we have to sow seed. I'll start by saying this. Number one, we need to be sowing more seed. How do we get the gospel out? Well, first thing we got to do is try. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. Most of us spend our whole Christian life and we don't never actually try. Let me show you something. I've shown this a million times. I'm going to keep right on showing it. And I'll buy as many of these as the Lord will let me buy. But let me show you something simple. This is so simple. Simplistic. And I'm just as guilty as some of y'all at times of not being willing to take this kind of action. But this is so simple. See this? This is a church invitation. Hey, this is an invitation to our church. Why don't you come have church with us sometime? And on the back of it, you know what this is? This is the gospel. Let me promise you this. You can talk about how effective this is or how not effective it is, but a man reads what's on the back of this card is no longer guiltless. Right. He is without excuse. Because everything you need to know to be born again is written right on the back of this little 3x5 card. There's 20 different versions of this out there. We got chick tracks, 1-page tracks, 10-page tracks, anything you can think of. He said, what do you do with that, preacher?
Put it in your pocket. And then sometime throughout the day, as you are out in the fields of life, sow a seed. We'd be sowing more seed. When's the last time? Let me give you a scenario, a realistic scenario, because I think a lot of times we talk about telling people about Jesus and preaching the gospel, and we make it sound a whole lot more hyper-spiritual than it is. I'm talking about real day-to-day life. How many times in your day, over the course of your week, does somebody come up to you with a complaint? X, Y, Z ain't going right. Or I don't like it. When's the last time you just said, I used to have that problem until I met Jesus? Let me tell you about somebody who will never let you down. When's the last time you looked at somebody and said, you know what y'all do? Y'all just come to church with us on Sunday. I'll take you out and buy you lunch after. Said, preacher, I don't know how to talk that good. Can you say, come to church? And I'll preach. If you bring them in here, I'll preach to them. I may not be good for a whole lot of things, but I promise you this right here. If you bring them in here, I'll preach to them. I can do that. We need some more seed. I mean, when's the last time that you saw somebody hurting and you offered them everything but Jesus? We do it all the time. We don't even realize it. Offer them every solution but the solution. When's the last time you looked at somebody and said, you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? That's a pretty important question. And see, here's what happened to you. You hang around this long enough, and you'll kind of get desensitized to that, and you'll think, well, everybody knows what that is. No, they don't. No, they don't. I'm telling you they don't. You start walking around talking to people about Jesus, and I promise you God will allow you to encounter people who don't know nothing about Him.
That's real, man. We need to be sowing more seed. How does Down East Baptist Church reach the world with the gospel? Well, we can sow more seed.
If there's something that we can do, we talked about this morning getting serious in 2024. Hey, listen, we need to get serious about the gospel. Because the gospel saves. Amen. Jesus saves, friend. Hey, listen, I
pick on them all the time, but it's because I can. I guarantee you one thing. There may be some people that come in here and come out of here and never realize how important what we do here is, but I guarantee you one thing. I guarantee you that Brian Glover's glad somebody preached the gospel to him. Yeah. I guarantee you that youngin' over here is glad somebody preached the gospel to her dad. Yeah. Amen. There's a whole bunch of more of you in here that I guarantee you. You're glad that you came somewhere somebody preached the gospel to you. Thank God. Hey, listen. We better get serious about this thing. Amen. We need to sow more seed. And we're going to. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, in 2024, that's a priority for Down East Baptist Church.
I think we need to sow more seed. I think we need to sow our seed as efficiently as possible. Hear me out right here. I hadn't counted these. I probably should have. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 scenarios right here. One sower sowed seed and it ended up in 4 places. Now, only one of those places had the right outcome. Would y'all agree with that? Say amen. If the sower knew this, you know what he could do? He could figure out a way to more efficiently sow the seed on the next pass. Y'all know about farming. Everybody in here knows a little something about farming. I remember when I was a kid, farming was a lot different than it is now. I gave a stat the other day in my ag class, and let me see if I can get it to you right. In, I think it was 1965, the average American farmer over the course of a year could feed, I believe it was 165 families, something like that. In 2024, that same average farmer can feed like 375 families. And I was talking about the importance of how we got there. And we got there by doing things like figuring out more efficient ways to sow seed. Church, we're going to reach more people by being more efficient. Stay with me now. There's a lot of our brethren that would hit me over the head for saying what I'm fixing to say. But if something don't work, probably best to spend your time doing something that does work. All right, we got to be able to recognize. We can't just do it because that's the way we've always done it. We need to be able to recognize when things work and when they don't. I'm a believer in using your time, redeeming the time, using it the most efficient way possible for sowing seed. So how can we reach the most people possible with the resources that we have? That's a calculation that we have to constantly be trying to make. Can you sow seed standing on a street corner? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm telling you, we can spend our time as efficiently as possible.
Are y'all listening to me? Say amen. I'm almost done. I'm getting ready to quit.
We need to be sowing more seed. We need to be sowing our seed as efficiently as possible. We need to be putting our resources into places that can sow the seed as efficiently as possible. But when all else fails, hear me out right here.
When all else fails, you know what we need to do? We need to just scatter it. At the end of the day, you'll never reach anybody until you start sowing some seed.
Yeah, that's right.
Scattering is still an effective technique. You know what? There ought to be nowhere you can go in Wilson County that you don't see one of these. Every gas pump, every bathroom, every door that'll let you stick something on it, every counter at every business ought to have one of these sitting on. Because, hey, sometimes we got to just scatter.
This is where people get messed up. Don't spend all your time trying to figure out how to fix the system. Just put some seed out there. The sower came forth to sow, and a quarter of where he scattered that seed ended up turning into some fruit. If, think about this. If you gave away, hear me out right here. Let's make each small numbers, okay? I got 1,000 of these sitting in my office right now. If you gave away 500 of these, if we as a church gave away 500 of these church invitation tracts in 2024, that's a small number. Now, the sower had 25% that bore fruit. Let's drop that way back. Let's say 10%. 10% of those resulted in people being born again and becoming a part of the church. We have to build another building. Really, then we wouldn't be able to fit them in here. I don't know what we'd do with them. 10%. If we gave away 1,000, if we gave away 1,000 and 10% responded, we would have to rent one of the big old Abrams tents and have church out in the yard until we build a building, because we wouldn't even be able to get them all inside of this building. You say, preacher, are you trying to fill the church? No, I'm trying to fill the halls of heaven, friend. Amen. Think about this. Our community, what we call the Bakertown community, has a population of, I don't know, 1,500 people, maybe. Out of those 1,500, I would wager a guess probably at least half of those people are not saved. That's 750. What if half of them, that's 375, over the course of the next 10 years, got born again? How much do you think that would change the future of our community? Think about that. What if half of the young families in our community got on fire for God? Think that would change things? Mm-hmm. What about this? We operate on a group of probably about 10 to 20 people really working and doing something for God at this church. Really getting after it and getting stuff done. Typically, that's about what, if we have something that needs doing, we got about 10 to 20, depending on what day it is, that are really ready to get after it. What if that number was 40? Yeah. Look what we've done with 10 to 20. What if that number was 50? So how do you get there? You've got to sow seed. We're not reaping a harvest because we're not sowing seed. That's where we're at. So what I want you to take away from all of this, we see the outcomes that are possible. We see the ends of it. So let's go out here and sow some seed. Let's go out here and do something for God. I know this is real simplistic, but I'm telling you, this will change your life. I'm telling you, being a witness for God will change your life. I want you to stand. Heads are